So we've been unwrapping our Christmas series these past few weeks. We've called it Unwrapped, and we figured it'd be helpful to kind of have some gifts up here, right, to kind of help communicate just the theme of Unwrapped. Don't these look like so inviting? Like, wouldn't it be like one of those, like, they just scream like, unwrap me, right? It just one of those, wouldn't you love if I was like, hey, Paul, listen, man, these are all for you. Just come on up and like, just go for it. And you'd be very disappointed because there's nothing inside the boxes, right? But there's some joy to unwrapping gifts. How many like unwrapping gifts? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's not like that's not unspiritual, right? So for the 12 of us that raise our hand, great. The rest of you, you can give us gifts. We like gifts. We love to open gifts. And you know, it's interesting. Gifts are what they brought to Jesus that day. And it was a reflection of the ultimate, that gift that God gave in the person of the Son. And we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in thinking Christmas is just about gifts. But I pray that the gifts that we receive and give serve as a reminder that the ultimate gift was given to us in the person of Jesus. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I love unwrapping gifts. And I think it's one of those things that, I'm not really like into the gift bag thing. Appreciate the gift bag, but like, and if you gave me a gift bag, God bless you. But I said that in the first service. I went to my office and it was one of my desks. It was like, it's not that I don't like it. I like the buildup, right? I like the whole, like, you know, Tom, you understand. Like, I just want to take my time with it. And I just really, I enjoy the surprise that might come my way. If it's in a bag, I kind of get an idea of what it's going and I kind of peek without wanting to do that. And so I just think that there's something nice and fun about opening gifts. I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way that they open gifts. You really can. Now, I'm going to put something in your head this morning that I think is going to really carry you through the next 48 to 72 hours as you're exchanging gifts and with your loved ones, because I think we could tell a lot about a person by the way in which they open gifts. It's interesting. When I was younger, I was one of four boys, and at Christmas time in the morning, we had to wait for mom and dad to get up, and we would exchange our gifts, and it was painful because it was a big family, and it was kind of like you had to wait your turn, and it was like, all right, God, like, you know, and if you were last, it was like, oh, it was painful. You couldn't show that, of course, right? But inside, you're kind of like, get on with it. Like, I want to, you know, and so it seemed to take like forever to have everybody kind of get their gifts. And then we got older and we all had kids. And do you remember that Christmas at my house when we had like 177 little kids, nieces and nephews at the house? And we just kind of gave the big, on your mark, get set, go. And it was like total chaos. I mean, paper was flying, kids were going, binkies were going, it was crazy. My mom and dad kind of looked at us like, what are you doing? Have you forgotten everything we've ever taught you about the fine art of gift giving? It was total chaos. But there's different ways in which people give gifts. And I think that if we were really honest, we could probably learn about a lot about ourselves and one another in which the way in which they do that. And so I kind of came up with a list of ways in which people give gifts. Now, you might find yourself in this or maybe know somebody that gives gifts like this. The first person I want to introduce you to is the person who unwraps their gifts very cautiously. Now, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for saying this, but that's my wife. My wife, especially when the gift is coming from me. Because I'm going to be honest with you, she's cautious about opening because 9 out of 10 times, it's going back. And so my kids and I will kind of watch my wife, who will slowly keep her face in check, and she'll just slowly tear back, like, I know this is probably going back, and she's just very cautiously kind of moving. Does anybody have someone in their life that cautiously opens, right? They're kind of, right? So, I knew we were like for a reason, brother. Yeah, it's kind of like, and you kind of know when you gave it. It's like, you know, we're at that point where I'm almost like, you're going to get gift cards. It's really... I know that's really not what you want to talk about at a marriage conference. It usually turns into marriage counseling when you do that, but just that cautious kind of a look. Then there's the what we call the careful unwrapper. The careful unwrapper. Their biggest concern isn't so much as to whether it's going to go back, but they're careful and even non-committal to unwrap it because they just don't want to be let down. Like it's just like they're slow. Like, you know, the buildup in their mind is they're thinking it probably isn't going to deliver. Right, and so they're the careful unwrapper. They're just afraid they might be a little bit. They don't care about bringing it back. They'll bring it back, no concerns at all. But they're just kind of careful. They don't want to be let down, disappointed at all. And then you always have the curious unwrapper. I like them. They're kind of intrigued by the wrapping. They're checking out the bows and they're kind of shaking it, and you know, if you put like a cat in there or something, it's really gets kind of crazy, right? And they're kind of like wondering what could possibly be. They're smelling it. Like let me just say, if you can smell something coming out of the box, don't open the box. It's only going to get really bad. So the curious one, they're just kind of enjoying the whole buildup of it. They're not so concerned about what's in the box. They're just kind of like turning it over and they'll flip it over a little bit. And they're just kind of curious about it. They're intrigued about what's going on. The opposite person of the curious unwrapper is what I call the courageous unwrapper. This one, they have no worries, they have no concern. They're confident that what's in that box is going to be an awesome gift, and they're also very sure that they deserve it, right? There's a little bit of an entitlement there. They just kind of like, give me the gift. I know it's been coming to me. I've been expecting it. Bring it on. They just go right for it, and they pull it out, put it on, and they're good. They're just very courageous and sure and confident about their gift. And then there's other. Notice they all start with C, by the way. It helps me to kind of, right, these all, because these people exist. They're going to be sitting around your dinner table in 2 days, so watch, because they'll be watching you, right? Then there's those who, they don't want everybody to kind of watch them unwrap their gifts, right? They're the ones we call them the confidential unwrappers. They're like squirrels. You give them a nut and they take off, right? You give them their gift and they're like, oh, thank you very much. And they want to go off into it and hide somewhere where nobody can kind of see their facial expressions, right? They just kind of hide behind a tree or in the bathroom, or they want to bring it home, right? They don't want everybody knowing their business. They just kind of like very confidential. They kind of like low key and kind of fly under the radar kind of thing. They don't want to bring any attention to themselves, right? They're kind of like a squirrel who gets a nut. They just kind of go and they disappear and they want to go hide it somewhere, and they just kind of, anybody know confidential, right? You give it to them, like, where'd they go? Like, you're going to open it? No, I'm going to open it later. What they really say is, I don't want you to see my face in case I don't like it, right? And so it's just, they want to have that assurance that they're not going to disappoint anybody. They're the confidential unwrappers. Of course, then there's those like my kids and my nieces and nephews. Remember this one, Michael, right? They were the what we call the crazy unwrappers, right? I mean, they're moving swiftly and recklessly from gift to gift. I mean, there's paper all over the floor. They come out and there's bowls on their head and they're spitting tape out of their hair and there's batteries. Nobody knows who gets what. And it looks like when they're done, you take a step back and it looks like a tornado just blew through your house. And you're thinking, what did these people do? They're just crazy excited. They just kind of jump in and they just move from gift to gift. They're just crazy excited about what is before them. The last one that I want to bring to your attention is what we'll call the contemplative unwrapper. They're really tough. They don't like emotionally commit one way or another as to whether they like the gift. They're the hardest ones to give to, Mom. And so, like, they're... you give them the gift and they're kind of like, and you're looking for something, like... Do you like it? Is it going back? Do you hate me? Right? They're just, in their mind, they need to process it. They need to kind of think about, how is this going to fit? How is this going to work into other things in my house? They're just kind of contemplating, and they're the hardest people to give to, aren't they? Because you're kind of left thinking, I spent all this time trying to figure out what to get you, and I just give me something, right? Like, give me a smile or a smirk or something. The contemplative person, they're just kind of thinking, how is this going to affect my life? See, you never knew there were so many approaches. How many can't wait to the gift-giving exchange to watch, right? Husbands, I bet you can't wait to watch the facial expressions as their wife opens up that beautiful diamond ring you gave her. Obviously, that's not what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. But I did want to tie that into something that I want to raise your awareness to together. Today we gather for Christmas. And let me tell you that the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind was given by your Heavenly Father. Amen. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All these gifts, I thank God for them. All the festivities, all of the celebration, all of the food, and all the food. It's going to be wonderful. But the greatest part of Christmas is that moment that we celebrate the coming of the Son. God's gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave the Son to all, and yet he does it in a way that makes us feel like he just gave him for us. How many feel like you're God's favorite, right? Only God can do that, God and grandmothers, right? Make everybody feel like they're your favorite. I found something very interesting over the years. I've discovered that many people unwrap the gift of Jesus the way that they unwrap other gifts. They all approach this gift that's been given to us by God in different ways than other people. And if you're here this morning, you're thinking, oh no, I hope I'm unwrapping Jesus the right way. Let me encourage you this Christmas by saying, it's not so much how you unwrap Jesus as much as it is that you unwrap Jesus. That you receive this gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you embrace this gift that's been given to you by your Heavenly Father. You know, the reality of it is, if I were to survey many of you here in the room this morning and asked you, how have you unwrapped the gift of Christ? We'd have a variety of different examples. The curious and the concerned and the courageous and the contemplative would all kind of come to that same point and say, you know, we kind of unwrapped it this way, but boy, did we come to saving faith in Jesus Christ alone. Because here's the thing, we're all different. God's created us different ways. We think different. We act different. Our experiences oftentimes inform the way in which we unwrap gifts from one another, as well as unwrap the gift that God's given to us. Some people just receive it and go. Others, it takes time. It's a process. It's a moment of contemplation and thinking. And we have different examples of people in the scripture that unwrap the gift of Jesus differently as well. I want to take a couple of moments this morning to consider just some of the ways that they and perhaps some of us may have approached that. See, maybe you're here this morning and you're a careful unwrapper. You just need a little bit more reassurance. Maybe things in your life just didn't go the way you thought they were going to go, and you're left feeling a little bit frustrated, maybe even a little disappointed. Maybe things that you thought that were gonna happen just didn't. And you're kind of like, you know, I don't want to just make an emotional decision like everybody else, but I've got some concerns. I've got some questions. You need something a little bit more tangible in your life. Maybe you're here and maybe you've been hurt. Or maybe you're listening online and you think, you know what, I can't even go to a church because I've been hurt by the church. I want to believe, I'm afraid of being vulnerable and being disappointed and being hurt. I think of a great example of that in one of the disciples by the name of Thomas. Thomas was a disciple of Jesus. He was one of the 12 that walked with him. Thomas left everything to follow his master. He loved Jesus. And he loved the idea that, see, he thought, like many others, that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom right here on the earth, that he would rule and reign with Jesus right here. He didn't have the cross in view. He didn't expect Jesus to be arrested and brutalized the way that he was. For Thomas, he was completely blown away as things started to unfold for Jesus. But here is Thomas, and I think sometimes Thomas gets a bad rap. We might know him as Doubting Thomas. But you see, things didn't go the way Thomas thought they should go. And when the one that he loved was betrayed, when the one that he loved was arrested, when the one that he loved was beaten and crucified and died, along with Jesus dying, so too did Thomas's hopes. So did his dreams of ruling and reigning with Christ on the earth. But Jesus rose again, just like he said he would, and he presented himself before the disciples. But you know, the first time it happened, Thomas wasn't there. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there, but I think that the exchange that takes place between Jesus and Thomas gives us a little indication as to what was going on inside of Thomas. I don't think it's a stretch to think that the events of Jesus' death rocked Thomas's world. It shattered his faith, and Thomas's, it wasn't that he was doubting Thomas, he was hurting Thomas. He was discouraged Thomas. And when Jesus showed up, Thomas wasn't there. We pick up on this story in John chapter 20, verse 24. It says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them." You know why they called him a twin? Because he was a twin. Why else would you call somebody a twin, right? Who thought like a trick question was coming their way, right? That's it, he's a twin. But he was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place my fingers into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." We get a good picture of where Thomas is at this point. Again, it's not that he's doubting so much as he is devastated. The course of events in the last week and a half had blown him away. And when Jesus showed up to the disciples and he wasn't there, and then they come and they tell him, it's almost like you can almost hear him say, I don't want to hear that. I can't even go there. Don't tell me you saw him. Hey, listen, unless I see the marks in his hands, unless I can touch those wounds, unless I can put my hand into his side, I am not going to be vulnerable again. I can't believe. It's not that I don't want to. I'm shattered. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and it says that Thomas was with them. I just love that. You can say anything you want about Thomas. Thomas was there. I don't know how Thomas got there. I'd like to think one of his brothers went and picked him up and said, "You need to be back." But Thomas was there this time. I love this. Although the doors were locked, like John always kind of captures those Jesus moments, those God moments. Like, although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. I like that. Because locks can't keep Jesus out. Amen. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it on my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." I love this. You see, Jesus knew Thomas's struggle and met Thomas right where Thomas was at. I love the way that this kind of unfolds here, because the reality of it is, here is finally Thomas is here. And when Jesus shows up, he makes a beeline right for Thomas. Thomas wasn't there the first time, so Jesus came back the second. Thomas mattered that much. He says to him, "Thomas, look at my hands. Touch the wounds of my hands. Put your hands in my side." And I love this. Thomas didn't even have to do it. We don't see Thomas doing that. He just sees his resurrected Lord, and he says, "My Lord and my God." God knows how to meet people where they're at. And so I'd say to the careful and the cautious unwrapper, like Thomas, keep showing up. Don't give up. Keep unwrapping who this Jesus is and let him show himself to you in a way that you need. Because Jesus always delivers. Jesus never fails. You keep showing up. You come expecting. And Jesus will meet you right where you're at. Maybe you're the confidential unwrapper. You fly under the radar, right? You don't want everybody knowing your business. It's just who you are. It's not a bad thing. It's a you thing. You're just totally fine with being invisible. You've got questions though. And you don't want everybody knowing the questions you have. You don't want, like you're kind of seeing this whole Christianity thing, and you've been entertaining and the idea of unwrapping Jesus, and you're not so sure yet about what Christianity is and all these people are, but you kind of know there's something to it, but you're not the kind of person who's just gonna kind of go and say, hey, tell me what I should believe. When I think of the confidential unwrapper, I think of someone like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious leader, a teacher, a Pharisee who had observed Jesus from a distance. He had watched and he had seen and he had heard the ministry of Jesus, but he did it from a distance. And we see something very interesting take place in John chapter 3, if you want to turn there with me. We look at this exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus. John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That's how we know Nicodemus had been watching him. He knew that this was no ordinary rabbi. I mean, he was operating on a level of supernatural that nobody outside of someone walking with God was able to do. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. And Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Doesn't it sound like Jesus missed the question? Jesus didn't miss the question. Jesus answered the real question. That was what really was going on in Nicodemus's mind. His curiosity was, how do I get over to the other side? And so Jesus wasn't looking to waste time. He just went for it. Nicodemus, unless somebody's born again, they'll not enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him the very obvious question, makes sense. How can somebody be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, that which is born of the is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Unless one is born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus starts this exchange with Nicodemus. But Nicodemus, he had been observing Jesus from a distance. He had questions. He's just kind of flying under the radar. He's kind of that confidential unwrapper of who is this guy? I don't want to ask anybody else. I don't want to look into let everybody kind of see what's going on to the inside. I'm going to go right to the source, but I'm going to do it in a place at a time that nobody will ever see me. Maybe you can relate with Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at night. In fact, they started a whole TV brand based on him. Maybe you heard of it, Nick at Night. Dun, dun, dun. But maybe you can relate with him. You've got questions. You don't want your questions broadcast to everybody. To you, I'd say, like Nicodemus, go right to Jesus with your questions. You be you, and go right to Jesus. Let me tell you, you don't need the church to find Jesus. You don't need a pastor or another Christian to find Jesus. Jesus is very capable of hearing and responding to your request. unwrap the gift of Jesus by asking Jesus who he is. Ask what his plan for you is. Ask Jesus what he wants you to know about him. God has chosen to reveal himself, all of himself, in the person of Jesus, and God has preserved the sacred scriptures for us to learn who Jesus is. Ask him. This upcoming year, turn off Nick at night and talk to Jesus at night. Open your Bibles and ask God to reveal himself to you. Talk to him and begin to wait and see how God shows himself to you in a way that you'll know it's from God. Maybe you're the curious unwrapper. You've been around people who identify themselves as disciples of Jesus. You're intrigued by their lives and their values. You don't have them all figured out yet, but you're curious. Maybe you had a different perception of what God wants from you. Maybe somebody sometime drilled something into your head about God that is a picture of a God who keeps score on all the times that you mess up, and that he's frustrated with you and he's angry with you and he's wanting you to approach him with rules and regulations, and you get this feeling like, I'd love to get to know God, but I can never meet his expectations. How many have had religious people like that in their lives? You're there and you're saying, there's something to this Christianity. It just keeps making you come back for more. You're just kind of looking at this gift, wondering, flipping it over and shaking it. Will this fit me? Wondering if Jesus really is all that everybody says that he is, but in contrast to what you see in maybe some Christ followers and what you read about him in the scriptures, there's also this contrast of what other people have put into your head that brings guilt and shame and anger towards God. And you're trying to kind of reconcile these two things. And you're kind of saying, I know there's something to this. I mean, people have been embracing Jesus for 2,000 years, so there's got to be something more to this. And you're just curious. To you, I'd point to Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love what Jesus is saying here. You see, Jesus' teaching was in stark contrast to the religious leaders of his day. The religious leaders of Jesus' day was taking the law and they were communicating in a way that was foreign to the way that God wanted them to communicate it. On top of that, they were adding all kinds of expectations and rules that really distanced themselves from God. And so what they were teaching was a salvation that, or a teaching that didn't save. They talked about a God that was impossible to follow and to satisfy. And that this angry God was looking to unleash wrath on them if they didn't follow the rules as they taught them. You see, in the way that they taught, the way a rabbi would teach, the things that he would teach, and you see, a rabbi would have disciples, people would follow him, and the way that, and the things that the rabbi would teach would become known as their yoke. And so when somebody would take on the yoke of a specific rabbi, what they really were doing is they were taking on the teaching of the rabbi. And as they were listening to the Pharisees and taking on the yoke of the Pharisees, they were hearing about a God who is distant and disconnected and anger and unappeasable. And it was creating a yoke that was heavy and laborious and unsatisfying. And it is to them that Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, you who are curious but feeling like you can't satisfy, Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my teaching upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To the curious unwrappers of Jesus, I'd invite you to discover who Jesus is and let him satisfy your curiosities. Allow the scriptures to reveal Jesus to you in a way that satisfies your curiosities and puts to rest the false images that somebody may have drilled into your head. Then there's always the all-in, no-holds-barred, bull-in-a-china-closet, crazy unwrappers of Jesus. Kind of like Peter and Andrew. Right? I mean, these guys are, they're brothers, they're fishermen by trade. That's what they did for a living. And they woke up one morning, it was an ordinary morning, I'm sure, for them. They had no idea what the day was going to reveal to them. They get up, they go off to work, and they're fishing. And what ends up happening is Jesus, we read about this in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is on the shore of Galilee, by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees these two guys who just reported for work like they do all the other times. And Jesus says to them, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I love that. No questions, no concerns. They leave their nets, they leave their catch, they leave their lunch, and they follow Jesus. That was all they had to hear. Come and follow me. Okay, and they're all in. They complete. They weren't curious, they weren't concerned, they weren't cautious. They just went for it. They gave all and followed Jesus. They left everything behind to follow the master. I mean, know somebody who's all in. Maybe that was you. Maybe you just kind of thought, man, I know in whom I have believed. I don't have everything all figured out, but I don't have to have it all figured out. I know this. He is God. It's when Jesus, when disciples, people started leaving Jesus, Jesus looked at them, at his disciples, and he said, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, to where are we going to go? Right? Who else can we turn to? There's so many ways to unwrap Jesus. And now let me just be clear. There is one way to Jesus, right? That is repenting of our sin, acknowledging we're sinners in need of a Savior. But before we get to that point, there's this stage of discovery that we go on. And the reality of it is, let me just kind of like to give you a peek behind the curtain. It's not that you're searching after God. Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. And so really what's going on, and as you think you're searching for God, he's drawing you. He's calling you in love. He's using your personality, and he's saying, you can be curious, come. You can be courageous, you can come. You can come. And he opens the door and the invitation for us to come. There's so many ways to unwrap him, because everybody is so different. And what's most important is that we don't leave the gift that God's given to us unwrapped in the corner. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why we come and we gather. It's about a creator whose love for his creation was put in motion. Not by sending some rules. Not by sending a card, not by sending an angel or some representative. God's love is made manifest to us in that he left heaven himself. God the Son, and became man. The incarnation. The prophets foretold it long, long ago. Hundreds of years before his arrival in Bethlehem, the scripture foretold that he would be born of a virgin woman, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be a descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They prophesied about the current events surrounding his birth and even articulated with precision accuracy his vicarious death on the cross. This one would bind up the brokenhearted, bring healing to those who were sick, and bring freedom to those who were captive. Hundreds of references to the Christ, hundreds of years prior to his birth. And then, as all creation longed and looked for that moment to happen, as the prophets foretold those events, it happens in a little town called Bethlehem to a teenage virgin named Mary. The Messiah is born. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, refers to Jesus simply as the Word. And he pens the opening of his gospel: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then John says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That day that all of creation longed for, that the angels foretold, that the prophets pointed to, he arrived. We don't know the exact day or the hour. We don't need to know. We only need to know that God came, that God drew near. The creator of the universe, the designer of all that exists, stepped into our world and put on our skin. God became flesh and dwelt among us. This Christmas and always, may we remember that the coming of the Son did not take place so that a religion of rules and regulations would be established. If God just wanted us to have rules and regulations, the Son would have never had to come and certainly would have not endured the harsh death that he did. But he came so that creation would be reunited with Creator, that brokenness would be healed, that lost people would be found, that hopelessness would find hope, and that turmoil might be exchanged for peace. Jesus is the gift of God to all who will receive him. He is the ultimate gift. However you choose to unwrap him this Christmas, I implore you to unwrap him, to embrace all that he is. This gift ensures hope, peace, love, joy, forgiveness, wholeness, healing, redemption, restoration, purpose, value, significance. All of these and so much more are wrapped up in this gift from God to you and to me. Unwrap the Savior this Christmas and discover all that God has for you. As our worship team comes forward this morning to close us out in song, I just want to encourage you. Embrace all that he is. Come to him as you are, knowing that God's made you and he knows where you're at. And we can just come and come freely. Merry Christmas, Integrity Church. May God's richest blessings be upon you. May we seek him like the wise men sought him. May we speak of him like the prophets spoke of him. May we love him like the Apostle John, who put his head on the breast of Jesus. And may we pursue him with everything in us this upcoming year, because in him is true fulfillment. Amen. Amen. In him is true joy, joy that has come this Christmas day. Let's stand together.